Well, Pastor Eric asked if I can preach a sermon on Labor Day, and I thought, I remember going back in my memory bank in terms of being a pastor and having all kinds of holidays to preach about and preach on. And as a pastor in Colorado, one of the themes that ran throughout my church was that every Mother's Day and Father's Day, I needed to preach a Mother's Day sermon and a Father's Day sermon. There were no exceptions to that rule. It was always, you must preach a sermon about mothers, you must preach a sermon about fathers. And as I thought about Labor Day, I went back and I thought, did I ever really preach a sermon about work and about a day of rest and about celebrating work? And it was hard to find such a sermon. And as I thought about what God wanted to speak to me and to all of us today was about labor and how we think about work. And if I were to take an honest poll here in the room, I would imagine that many of us would say, I confess, when I was actually driving to work, I didn't want to go. Did anyone think that way? Did anyone feel that way in their hearts? I confess that there were moments where I thought to myself, Lord, help me find a way for early retirement. I don't want to do this, Lord. I don't want to go to work today. And even as you find the motivation to work, it's even harder today, isn't it not? If you're working from home, it's even harder to get up and say, yes, I'm so excited to go to work today. Or if your work is raising your family, I'm so excited, Lord, for this opportunity to raise my family. It's hard. And so if you go back in history, it was 1882 where someone thought, we need to celebrate work. The creation of Labor Day happened in the late 1800s, and it didn't become a real holiday in Massachusetts until 1887. And as we think about over 100 years of work, you think about all the centuries before, what did they think about? Was there never a day off then? What did they think about work back then, and how has work changed? But more importantly today, I want us to consider, how does God view work? What does God want us to do with work? What is the purpose of you getting up in the morning and working? In whatever vocation you have, what does God want us to be and do in our work? That's the subject of what we are trying to get at in this passage today. As you have just heard from 1 Chronicles 29, the setting is that David, King David, is planning for his successor. And if you remember the story, his successor is his son, Solomon. And as David is preparing for the work that Solomon is going to do, Solomon has been tasked with this massive project of building a temple for the Lord. Now, if you've ever gone through any kind of building process or construction, I want you to imagine with me your home, if you were to build a home, or if you were to build a tiny home, or if you were to build a larger home. How much time and effort and planning and preparation has to go into that work? Have you ever looked at a blueprint of a home? Now, take that and just multiply that tremendously, because you're going to see in 2 Chronicles 2 and 3 later on in your own study how much work it took and how much planning and preparation it took for Solomon to actually construct this temple for the Lord. But before that happens, we get to our passage, and King David is thinking through, I don't know how much longer I have to live. I need to plan out my successor. I need to know that my son Solomon, who has been very immature at times, is he really going to follow through with this work? Is he really going to do what God commands of him? Is he really going to build this massive structure for the Lord, a place of worship for God's people? Is he really going to do that? I know that yesterday he disobeyed me. Is he really going to follow through in what God is calling him to do? And so we see here the passage that was read for us. We get to this portion of the passage where David is praying. And prior to that, I would like for us to consider what has been happening here. There has been a pledge fund going on where David is asking the people of God, will you contribute to the kingdom in building this temple? And he tells us earlier in the passage, starting in chapter 29, he says, my son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. How many of you have ever thought that about your kids? The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. Again, you see that David is trying to help the people understand that this is not some small little project. This is going to be something grand and extravagant. Verse 2, with all my resources I have provided for the temple of my God. What does he provide? What does King David give to this offering? Gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. All of these in large quantities. David is saying, everything I have is going to go to this temple. I'm not going to withhold anything from my God because I love him so much, and I know that this is what he wants. God wants a place of worship for his people. He wants to build this temple. And you can imagine all the people who were here at Grace Community Church building this sanctuary. How much work and effort and toil and finances and sweat and all the things that had to happen for this structure to be built. Imagine this and all of the qualities that have been shared by David. David says, it's all yours, Lord. It's all yours. Then he tells us in verse 5, and he asks, now, who is willing to consecrate themselves today to the Lord? In this season of COVID, I confess, it's been one of the most challenging seasons for me personally. I have usually more energy each day. But for some reason, during this pandemic season, perhaps you can resonate that my energy level has really been down. I do think that I've been suffering from some form of depression. I think that I have been suffering from some form of demonic attack at times where I feel very discouraged. I don't want to do what I'm called to do. I feel like I've been wandering through these weeks and months, and I don't know how many of you feel that way. And some days I just get up and I say, Lord, just help me get through this one day. And so to preach a sermon where it seems like I'm going to be preaching on, you better give all your money to the church, that just seems impossible right now. Matt, please don't come back. Pastor Eric, please stop inviting Matt. He preaches on these topics that I don't want to hear about. And the weight just seems like it's starting to crush, and I don't want you to feel that way. I don't want you to feel this burden that Pastor Eric has tasked me to ask you all for more money. That's not what he has called me to do. So what is it about work then? What is it about work that David wants us to understand? It says in verse 9, the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the work of the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. When the people of God come together for a purpose, when the people of God come together for a mission, when the people of God come together for the sake of the gospel, what happens? There is great joy. There is rejoicing. There is celebration. There's clapping of hands. They're standing in the assembly. They're getting excited about God's work. And in the season of the pandemic, how many of us are going through life just saying, Lord, just get me through one more day? And it's so hard to think, how can I move in this mission of God? How can I be Christ-like to my neighbors? How can I be a true disciple in my work? It's really hard. So I want to empathize with you today, that if you've been feeling discouraged or feeling anxious or feeling depressed or feeling worried or tired, that seems to be normal right now. But what is God asking then? In the season of difficulty, of just hoping that this thing would just go away, called COVID-19. Why won't it just go away? What is God asking us to be and to do? We get to David's prayer. And the first thing that David wants us to understand is that everything belongs to God. Everything. He prays, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours." Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. I don't know about you, but in this season of waiting and frustration, it's easier, is it not, to start clenching our things and to say, everything's mine. No one needs to teach a child to say, it's mine. And in the same way, in this season right now, where it seems like everything can go away very quickly, we say, no, it's mine. I read yesterday in the news, I don't know if this is true or not true, but they're saying that in 11 years, if we don't get our act together as government and nation, Social Security is going away. 11 years. Because of all the money that's been exhausted. Now, this is not, again, to give you anxiety and worry. But I thought to myself, I'm 43. 11 years from now, I'm 54. If I live that long, there will be no more money for me. That's what the human mind thinks. That's what the non-believer might think. Is that what a Christian should think? Is that what I should be thinking? Why do I ask that? Because in verse 11, it says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours." My God, your God, owns everything. Everything. Then why, as Christians, do we have a mentality, a perspective of scarcity? I'm asking myself this question. Why do I go through life saying I need to get through paycheck by paycheck when the Lord tells me that He owns everything? And more importantly, He says, for at least for you and I who know Christ, He says, I'm your God. I'm your Father. You're my child. I own everything. Everything belongs to me. Everything you see. Everything in heaven and on earth belongs to me. So why, child, are you worrying? Why are you worrying? Everything belongs to me. The other day, I took my kids to look at bicycles because my oldest one needed a new bicycle. He keeps growing too fast. And we went to the store looking for bicycles, and I had planned in my mind the cost of what I thought the bicycle might be. Because I had already done some research, and I thought, yeah, it was going to be this amount. And then we get to the store, and I'm looking, and I thought, 2 weeks ago I went to the bike shop, and I didn't see any bikes, and this week it was packed. Right? The whole place was packed, and I thought, this is fantastic. We're going to find his bicycle. And so we go through one by one. Is this the right size? No, this is not the right one. That's not the right one. That's not the right one. That's not the right one. And then the guy at the store, at the shop goes, you know, I'll take a look. And he goes back. I was like, yeah, can you please find the 16-inch, 26 wheels, but 16-inch height? He's like, yeah, sure, I'll go look. And he comes back and he's like, don't have it. Then we look at this rack that goes above. And then I look up and, wow, the prices of these bikes is a lot more. Why are these bikes double the price of what I was looking at on the web? And he goes, Dad, this one might work. And as we brought that bicycle down, it was almost double the price of the other one that was okay. But my heart said, I want to give this bike to my kid because I love him. And as we brought that bike down, for whatever reason, it was actually not the right size. And we couldn't get it that day. But in that moment, my heart said, of course I'd buy that bike for my kid. Dear church, God says, you're my child. And everything in this entire universe belongs to me. Everything that you have, that I have, belongs to God. Yes, I went to work. Yes, I earned that money. Yes, I went to overtime. Yes, I did that. Yes, I put in the sweat and tears. Lord, that's my money, we say to ourselves. And he says, dear child, everything belongs to me. Everything you have, the clothes that you wear, that home, that apartment, that car, that bicycle, everything belongs to me. So why are you worrying? Why are you worrying today? Why am I worrying today when God tells me, my Abba Father tells me, everything belongs to me? Trust him today. Will you trust him? Will you put your absolute faith in this God who promises that he owns everything? Will you allow that same God to say, I created you, I love you, I will provide for you? King David tells us that everything belongs to the Lord. Stephen Curtis Chapman was one of my favorite songwriters and singers, and he has written numerous great Christian songs. And one of the songs he writes, I'm going to just read the lyrics for you. Would you just close your eyes and listen? It comes right out of this prayer. And it's all yours. I wish I could sing like him. God, yours, God, everything is yours. From the stars in the sky to the depths of the ocean floor, and it's all yours, God, yours, God. Everything is yours. All the greatness and power, the glory and splendor and majesty, everything is yours. Yeah, it's all yours. We are yours. The glory and honor is yours. Everything is yours. It's all yours, God. My life is yours. My heart is yours. My hands and my feet are yours. Every song that I sing, it's all yours. All is yours. All belongs to you. Our gifts are yours, God. All our dreams are yours, God. All our plans are yours, God. The whole earth is yours, God. Everything, everything is yours. Do you believe that today, dear church? Do we believe that as a community of faith, that when we feel like we're lacking, when we feel like we don't have enough, if we feel like, I wish I just had one more thing, would you surround each other and remind each other that everything belongs to God, and that doesn't mean that he's going to give you everything. But let's remind ourselves that he is the provider. He is the one who's going to give when we're in lack, when we trust him completely. But as we move on here, he tells us also that we are to give it over to him. And so in the second part of verse 11, it says, yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. It doesn't say, I'm exalted as head over all. I'm the one who controls the finances. No, he says, everything, God is the head over. And O.S. Hawkins, great Christian writer, said this. There are five myths about what it means to give. And myth one is that only people with money should give. Now, come on. Who honestly thinks that they have money? Right? Who, right? If you did a poll of everybody on the planet and said, are you rich? What would people say? Not in comparison to her. Not in comparison to him. So that question is the wrong question to ask. So it says, myth one, only people with money should give. Myth number two, it's unpleasant to give. Right? Do we think that way? Do we think that it's unpleasant to give? How many of us have actually done this? Where, let's say, for example, I'm going to give something to Eric. right? Pastor Eric, here's my gift to you. And then I actually try to give it to you, and then you take it, but then I pull it back, right? How many of us would actually do that? How many of us actually think that it's so unpleasant to give? Then if you're going to do that, if you're going to pull it back, then don't give it in the first place, right? It should be a pleasure, right? So that's a myth number three, that the results end in a lack of resources for me. So the more I give to other people, then there's going to be less for me. Number four myth, just do what you can, meaning just give God or give others the scraps and the leftovers. Myth number five, you must be guilted into giving. Right? Who wants to be guilted into giving? I want to be able to give out of my own volition. I want to be able to give because I want to give. As we think about our lives, there are so many moments where God is just saying, I want you to surrender everything to me. And that's what this passage is saying. Everything, if principle one is true, if everything belongs to the Lord, which is what David is saying, principle number two is that he has control over everything. That means that I need to be able to free myself of the thought that I have everything and everything belongs to me. And so this week, as you're considering your finances and you're considering what it means for you to live a lifestyle of giving, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about with me, who are the people that God might be asking me to give to? It doesn't even have to be money. It doesn't have to be monetary gifts. It doesn't have to be actual physical gifts. Our time, our listening ear, our empathy, our ability to just be there for someone. Who is God challenging me to give my everything over to? Not to say, this is all mine, my time is mine, everything is mine. No, Lord, it's yours. So how do you want me to live tomorrow? How do you want me to live today? This is not a rebuke in any way. That's what God is telling me. He's saying, Matt, what are the ways that I'm calling you to just give over headship, everything, lordship, kingship to me? Give everything to me, and if I have a lifestyle of giving everything to him, then it's only natural that I'm going to say, look at my calendar this week. Where are the moments of time where I can give? And Lord, who are the people that I can give to? And again, he's not asking us to give ornate jewelry and things like that that David was giving. That's what David had to give. He was blessed in that way. And so he gave freely out of everything he had. But what is he calling us to give? And it may not be financial. And the third principle that he leads us to, not only does he tell us that everything belongs to him, and then the headship is Christ and God's and the Holy Spirit's, and everything is offered over to him. He tells us in verse 12, wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. How do we get rich with God? How do we get rich with God? Is it by selling all that we have and giving to the offering plate? No, I don't think that's what he's saying here. He's saying wealth and honor come from him. He's the one who gives it to us so that we might be good stewards of what God has given. We are to live a lifestyle not of clutching, but of releasing. Okay, will you do that with me? It looks really stupid, okay, but do it with me. Instead of clutching, releasing. Okay, how painful was that? Now let's actually put some real things in our pocket. I take things out of your pocket, and you go like this. It can be a little harder. But that's what he's saying. Wealth and honor. How I get rich with God is not just by dumping money into the plate of the offering that passes through. It's giving our entire lives and being a good steward. David was a good steward. Yes, he knew that he was going to eventually leave this earth, but he gave everything. And his perspective was, I'm going to give everything to the Lord's work. I'm wondering, you and I, how are we feeling these days? I'll be honest with you. The more and more this COVID goes on, I feel like clutching. It's not enough, Lord. What if you take away this? What if you take away that? Why does health insurance keep going up? It feels like I'm clutching. And God is saying, release. So he tells us, wealth and honor come from you. Do you want to get rich with God? Then give it all to God. You are the ruler of all things. I'm not the ruler, Lord. You are the ruler of all things. So change my perspective, God. Help me to see the world differently. Help me to see the world through your eyes. Help me to know that you are in control, that you are the God who provides, that you are the God who is to be honored in all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Who's in control? If anything, this pandemic has taught me that I am not in control. Are you in control? No, we're not in control. He gives the ability. He gives finances. He gives time. He gives resources. He's the one who gives it to us. Let's change our perspective, he's saying. Help us to see that God is in control and that we are to give honor to him by doing so. There was a pastor, just quick anecdote. There was a pastor who visited a church member at his farm. And then he said, it's great to see you. I'm going to give you a little challenge, if I might, today. Can I give you a challenge? He said, yeah, sure, give me the challenge. If you had $200, would you give God $100? And he said, yeah, God's the one who gave me the $200. Yeah, I can give God $100. Okay, that's good. If you had two cows, would you give God one cow? Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, God gave me those cows. Yeah, those two cows, yeah, sure, I can give him one. And then he asked the third question. You have two pigs. If you have two pigs, would you give God one pig? And the man went, no, that's not fair. You know that I only have two pigs. What is God asking us today? What is he asking me today? In this season of waiting and hardship, it's hard. Some of us are really going through some difficult emotional ups and downs, and we're tired, and we don't want to hear a sermon about work, especially, and then about giving. That can be very painful. But what is God asking us to release to him today? Who are the people that God wants us to meet with this week? Is there anybody that comes to your mind? How does God want us to give this week? Not just in the offering plate, not just online. No, God is asking us to give our entire lives to him. He's asking me. He's asking me, what are you going to give up? And this message is countercultural. The world says, keep, more for yourself. And God says, no, I didn't create the world that way. I created the world. Give. So much so that there are 2,300 references in the Bible to money and finances and possessions. That 15% of what Jesus talked about was monetary. That there are over 2,000 verses in the Bible that say give in the Old Testament. And there are 415 verses in the New Testament that say give. So that's not the message of the world. And yes, God is countercultural. And yes, God wants to be honored with all that we have, all that we are. If this COVID has taught me anything, it's that I'm not in control. And frankly, I want to let you know, and you already know this, and you're not in control either. But who is in control? Our loving Heavenly Father. And he wants to be honored as we are good stewards of all that he has given to us. Wealth and honor come from him, and we are simply to be messengers, stewards of what he has given to us. Will you think about that this week? One person? One act of grace towards someone else. Just one. Put that in my heart too. Who are the people? One person, two people. Who are the people that I can reach through a phone call or some other way and get? For that is how we give to the Lord's work, and that is how we get rich with God. Is by giving to the Lord's work as we are good stewards of all that he has given to us. Will you take a moment to pray with me? I want to ask you to just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you think of one person this week. I'm going to give you 30 seconds, and if you don't come up with a person right now, that's okay. Continue to pray this week. Who's the one person this week that I need to reach out to? It could be a family member, it could be a coworker, it could be a neighbor, it could be a friend. As you think about that one person, I want you to think about one activity. What is the action that God is asking me to do? Do I know someone in my life is struggling financially? They could use some help financially. Do I have a friend or a family member who needs some time? Do I want to pray for someone? Do I want to give to them in some financial, tangible way, or a gift or a meal? Are there things that people need around me? What is God asking us? He's not asking us to build the whole temple today. He's not asking us to give everything today. He's asking us to make one act of sacrificial living, one act of generosity, one act of kindness, one act of grace. We can do that as people of God, just one thing. What is God wanting us to be and to do? Because as the season of COVID goes on, the enemy wants nothing more than to make you more insular. The enemy wants nothing more than you and I to just be sheltered in place. The enemy wants nothing more than to make Christians die at the core of who we are as people of God. The enemy wants nothing more than to take away your joy. The enemy wants nothing more than to make you think that you're the only one going through this. People of God, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God is for you. God loves you. God is with you. God owns everything. And I pronounce that blessing over you today to release you and me from this oppression. That God wants something so much more for our lives. And the longer we let the enemy suck away our joy, he will continue to do that. So let's rise up, Grace Community Church. May we rise up out of this spiritual malaise. May we rise up and remember who our God is. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for this reminder that you are in control, that everything belongs to you, and that we are your children, dearly loved, bought with the precious blood of Jesus. We are not wanderers through this earth. You are with us. And you've created this community, Grace Community Church, around us so that we might nudge each other and push each other forward in the lifestyle of Christ. A life of discipleship, a call to die to ourselves, to live not like the world, but to live counterculturally. God, you've called us to be different. So, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ over this church. Any person that is going through oppression, anxiety, worry, stress, that you would release any chains, in the powerful name of Jesus, release these things so that we might be able to be the people of God that you've called us to be. We thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and minister to your people today. Release us from any bondages that we're carrying and help us to live victoriously for Christ. It's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen.